And as you're taking your seat, if you brought your Bible with you this morning, I encourage you to open up to the book of 2 Timothy. And I do encourage you to bring your Bible with you each week, because right now during this particular season that we're in, we don't have any of our normal Bibles and hymnals in the pews. So we encourage you to bring yours from home so that you can follow along with us each week. And obviously, if you're at home and you're watching via live stream, we encourage you to take out your Bible and follow along as well. We're starting a new series this morning where we are going to be looking at some of the most foundational core truths of the Christian faith, what we believe. And we're looking at that through the lens of what is known as the Apostles' Creed, which I'll say much more about in just a few minutes. But as we begin this series, I want to draw your attention to a passage from 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'll be reading verses 8 through 14. Hear now the word of the Lord. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us here today. And Lord, we know that if we are sitting here today in this room or watching via live stream, you have brought us to this place for a purpose. No one is here by accident. And so, Lord, we pray that you would speak to us as we just sang in the words of that song. For, Lord, we know that it is your voice and it is your word that we hear when we open the scriptures. So, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us this morning and that we would not simply hear your words, but that your word would sanctify us and change us, transform us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The question I want to start off with you as I begin this series, and I want you to reflect on, is a very, very simple question. Maybe it's going to seem so simple that it won't seem like much of a question at all, but the question is, what is it that you believe? What do you personally believe? Everyone believes in something. Everyone has a set of beliefs that they hold dear, whether those beliefs are explicit or implicit, but every single person has a set of beliefs, and faith is the act of placing confidence and trust in whatever your beliefs are. So you actually cannot divide the world into two groups of people, those who have faith and those who don't have faith. Every single person on this planet has faith in something. The question is, what are you placing your faith in? What are your beliefs? The question is not whether you believe, but what you believe. And so let me ask you again, what do you believe this morning? During this series, we are going to explore some of the core fundamental truths of the Christian faith that Christians have held dear for 2,000 years. And we're going to explore not just what we believe, but why we believe those things and what implications those things have for the way that we live our lives. And we're going to do this by looking at a creed that is known as the Apostles' Creed. Now, the Apostles' Creed is one of the oldest creeds in the Christian church. It goes back all the way to the 2nd century AD. And it is called the Apostles' Creed, not because it was written by the apostles, but because it summarizes, in many ways, much of the core teachings of the apostles. And that's why we call it the Apostles' Creed. And it remains today one of the most universally recognized creeds in the history of the Christian church. But before we kind of get into that, I want to say that anytime we talk about creeds, I find that there are a couple of objections that people might raise toward focusing our attention on creeds. Anytime you bring up creeds, you'll find these objections are fairly common, and I want to address two of them as we begin this series. One of the objections I would summarize by saying that some people say, we don't need creeds, we just need the Bible. Why do we need creeds when we have the Bible? If you have been to Highview for any length of time, you know that we believe the Bible is the only infallible authority for life and for doctrine, because it is the very Word of God. So if we believe that the Bible is the only infallible authority for our lives and for our doctrine and for all of those things, then why would we even bother with creeds, which are written by men, whereas Scripture is the Word of God itself? Why bother with creeds? You'll find some churches today that boast about being non-creedal churches and say, we don't use creeds, but we are a Bible-only church. Now, I actually kind of sympathize with that, and it sounds very nice, but the reality is that is never true in practice. Because I always chuckle when I find a church that says, we're a non-creedal church, we are a Bible-only church, because every single time you can visit that church's website, and you will find somewhere on the site a page that says what we believe or our beliefs, and you can click on that page, and there will be a page with bullet points listing, here are all of our beliefs. And I want to say, well, congratulations, you've got yourself a creed. Because that's exactly what that is. You may not call it a creed, but that's exactly what a creed is. It is a summary of what do we believe Scripture teaches about the most fundamental topics. So the reality is that creeds are unavoidable. Creeds are simply a summary of what we believe as Christians. In this way, they are not a substitute for Scripture. They're not meant to be used in place of Scripture. Rather, they are meant to summarize what we believe Scripture teaches. I once heard an illustration that I thought was very helpful in this regard, and that was that we might think of the relationship between creeds and the Bible as a little bit like the relationship between the sun and the moon. We all know that the sun gives off its own light, whereas when you look up at the moon in the night sky, even though the moon looks like it's shining, it's not really giving off its own light, it's reflecting the sun's light, right? And in a similar way, we might think of creeds as a bit like that, whereas Scripture is the only source of infallible truth. It shines forth that truth. And creeds do not have truth in and of themselves, but they reflect back the truth of the Scripture to us, much like the moon reflects the rays of the sun. And so, going back to the objection, when we say we don't need creeds, we just need the Bible, we can see that creeds really are unavoidable, and they are meant to simply reflect back for us what Scripture teaches, and they're helpful in that regard. I can hear myself get double dose this morning. A second objection, and this one is similar to the first, second objection that's related to the first, but it's different, is that sometimes you'll hear people say, when we begin talking about creeds or theology, they'll say, we don't need doctrine, we just need Jesus. Why do we need to talk about theology? Why do we need to talk about doctrines? Why don't we just focus our attention on Jesus? And sometimes you'll hear people even say the phrase, doctrine divides, but Jesus unites. In other words, the church would be much more united if we just focused on Jesus. All this theology, all this doctrine stuff, that just distracts from Jesus, and really all it does is divide people. It's not useful for everyday living. Well, in response to that, I want to say a couple of things. First of all, there is no such thing as doctrineless faith. It doesn't exist. I'm always kind of amused when someone says to me, well, I'm not real big on doctrine, I'm just a Jesus person, I just focus on Jesus. And I usually respond to that by saying, okay, well, tell me, who is Jesus? And they'll say, well, it's the Son of God and he's our Savior. And I'll say, well, that's really interesting. What is it that we need to be saved from? And I'll say, well, we need to be saved from sin. And I will say, well, how does Jesus save us from our sin? Well, he does that by dying on the cross as an atonement. And at some point, I'll stop after several questions and say, do you realize that you're doing theology right now? You just listed about 5, 6, 7 different doctrines. I mean, you can't believe in Jesus without knowing something about him. You can't have faith without having some kind of content to that faith. Faith is not empty. It has some kind of content to it. And therefore, the idea of faith without doctrine is just, it's an oxymoron. Doesn't exist. There's no such thing as doctrineless faith. And the other thing I want to say about this is that contrary to popular opinion, doctrine, first and foremost, doesn't divide but unites. Doctrine does not divide first and foremost, but it unites. Now, I know that there have been many examples throughout church history of different churches or denominations dividing over what we may consider petty issues. But through the history of the Christian church, one of the key benefits of having clear doctrine is that's what unites us together as Christians. We believe something in common. That's what holds us together. I always tell people this when they go to a new members class at our church. I always say, you know, when you join a church, when you become a member of a church, being a member of a church is different than being a member of any other human organization. Because in most human organizations, when you become a member, you are united with other people based upon a common interest or a common hobby or a common background. And in the Church of Jesus Christ, you are not united with other people because you have common interests. You're not united because you have a common background. You're not united because you have a common hobby. You're united with them because you have a common faith. You believe something together, and you follow the Lord Jesus together. So as we've looked at these objections, now I want to move into talking a little bit about this series and kind of setting the stage this morning. This message is kind of an introduction to this whole series. And I want to start by looking at this passage in 2 Timothy chapter 1, particularly verses, I want to focus on verses 12 through 14, because in these verses there is some very significant wisdom that Paul gives to Timothy that I think are related to and help us understand the importance of creeds and how all of this fits together. And so as we begin this series, I want to draw your attention to this passage. And first of all, I want you to see that Paul says in this passage, if you are a Christian, there is something to believe. There is something to believe. Paul says to Timothy in the second half of verse 12, "But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me." Do you see that Paul says to be a Christian, he believes in something? He believes in something, or more specifically, he believes in someone. That is at the center of what it means to be a Christian. And this is a reminder to us that every single person, not just Paul, who wants to be a Christian, must believe something. In fact, the word creed simply comes from the Latin word credo, which means I believe. I don't know if you knew that before, but that's where we get the word creed. It just means I believe, which is the first two words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in all of these things that follow. So to affirm a creed is to believe in something. And you'll notice if you do a word search through your Bible, particularly in the New Testament, that word believe comes up over and over again. What the New Testament makes clear is that being a Christian means we must believe in something. And it's actually more than one thing. There are lots of things Scripture says you must believe. Let me give you a few examples. The Bible says we must believe in God. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." We have to believe says we have to believe in Jesus. John 3:16, you all know this passage, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." The Bible says we must believe the gospel. Mark 1:15, when Jesus starts his ministry, he says, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel." The Bible says we must believe that Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God. John 20:31 says, "These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Do you see what John's saying there? It's not just I write this so you may believe, but your life is dependent upon believing these things. And only by believing these things would you have life in his name. We must believe in his death and resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 4:14 says, "For since we believe," there it is again, "that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring those with him who have fallen asleep." These are just a few examples. You could look at dozens of others that mirror those passages, but to be a Christian is to believe in something. We might summarize it by saying to be a Christian is to believe in Jesus and everything that is taught about Jesus in his word. To be a Christian is to, there's something to believe. But secondly, I want you to see in this passage from Paul that if you're a Christian, there's something to follow. Now, we often talk in Christianity about the importance of following Jesus, and that's the central part of our faith, as we follow a person. Scripture also talks about following in other respects. For instance, we're called to follow a set of teachings. Paul says in verse 13, "Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Now, notice a couple things about that statement. First of all, Paul says there is a pattern of sound words that we are called to follow. What is he talking about here? He is talking about the teaching that was given by Jesus and handed down to us through his apostles. This body of teaching or doctrine is the pattern of sound words that we are called to follow. And as I said before, it is this teaching which is summarized in the Apostles' Creed. It is this pattern of sound teaching that Jesus handed down through his apostles. You know, this is a reminder to me that the Christian faith is not something that was invented just yesterday. What you and I believe, if you're a Christian, is not something new. It's not something we invented, but it is something that was handed down to us, and therefore we don't have the liberty of tampering with it. You can accept it, you can reject it, but those are basically the only options. And notice also that Paul says this pattern of sound words, this pattern of sound teaching, was handed down. He reminds Timothy that Timothy received it from Paul, and later on he says to Timothy, you need to hand it down to others. 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul says, "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." The Christian faith is something that has been handed down from generation to generation to generation. If you are sitting here today, or you're watching this at home, and you are a Christian, it is because someone else handed the faith down to you. They passed on this pattern of sound teaching to you. And this is what unites believers together, not just those who are alive today, but it unites us with every single man and woman of Christ who has come before us throughout church history. I like these words from theologian Al Mohler. He said, "There is such power in knowing that when we confess the Apostles' Creed, alone or in corporate worship, we are declaring the truth of the Christian faith with the very words that gave early Christians hope, sent martyrs confidently to their deaths, and have instructed Christ's church throughout the centuries." So if we are Christians, we have something to believe, we have something to follow. Paul also says, thirdly, if you're a Christian, there's something to guard. Paul says to Timothy in verse 14, "By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you." What is the good deposit here? He is talking about the same thing he was talking about in the previous verses. This body of teaching that has been handed down, these truths from the Scriptures. He says, guard the good deposit entrusted to you, and we are called to guard those truths today. You know, one of the reasons that the early church created some of these creeds, which we still have today, was to guard the Christian faith. Because one of the realities that happened in the early church was that as the church grew and as the apostles began to spread the gospel, alongside that, there was another reality that came quickly into play, and that was that there were other false teachers that began to crop up in the church. There were other people who began to spread false teaching and false doctrine, things about Jesus that were not true, that were not consistent with what the apostles taught or what Jesus himself taught. So the church had to figure out, how do we make clear that some of these teachings are not consistent with the apostolic teaching that we are seeking to hand down? And one of the ways that they combated that was through some of these creeds. It was a creed was a way of planting a flag in the ground, essentially, and saying, this is what we believe Scripture truly teaches. Contrast to some of these false teachers, heretical teachers, this is where we stand. And it was a way of clearly delineating between truth and error. Creeds are something that helps guard the truth. They are something that helps separate between truth and error. And they also guard us. You know, I like to think of creeds as a bit like guardrails on the highway. Now, what's the purpose of a set of guardrails? Well, guardrails serve a couple of purposes. One thing, they mark the edges of the road so that you can see more clearly where the road is. But they also help protect you from sliding off the road in the case of losing control. So guardrails are there to protect us. And you know, creeds are there to protect us in a similar way, because creeds, similar to guardrails, help sort of mark the road of Christian Orthodox teaching. They show us where the road is, and they also show us the boundaries of that road, and warn us that if you go outside of those boundaries, then you are entering into dangerous territory. You're leaving the safe path of truth and easily lapsing into error. And we need to be very, very careful about that. They mark the path for us. And so creeds, not only are we called to use these kinds of tools to guard the deposit that's been entrusted to us, but they also guard us as well. Paul says to Timothy, if you're a Christian, you have something to believe, you have something to follow, you have something to guard. And the final thing I want to say today is this. In many ways, what I've been talking about this morning is really just the first two words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe. And some of you are thinking, this is going to be a really long sermon series if he's only going to do two words a week. We're going to speed things up next week, I promise you. But I want to sit this week on these two words because it's really important. When you profess a creed, and the word creed simply means credo, I believe, you are saying, I believe these truths are what the Scriptures teach. So what does it mean to really, really, really say, I believe? What does that mean to actually say those words, I believe? Let me say two things before we close this morning. First of all, to truly affirm the Apostles' Creed means not just confessing these truths with your mouth, but believing these truths in your heart. We all know that a person can say something with their mouth that they don't believe in their heart. You need an example? Just watch politics, you know? I don't know. people say things all the time that they don't actually mean, right? We know that to be true. And in the same way, a person can say the words of the Apostles' Creed without actually believing those things. I could recite the creed and not actually mean any of those things or actually believe any of those things. And I want to be very clear this morning and tell you that saying the words of the Apostles' Creed, if you don't believe them, is of no value to you whatsoever. It's not some kind of magical statement that all of a sudden if you say the words, you magically are a Christian, because it's not enough to just say something with our mouths. We have to believe certain things in our hearts. And this is something that is borne out in Scripture. I draw your attention to what Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, where he says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's not enough to confess with your mouth. One must believe in the heart in order to be saved. So to truly affirm the Apostles' Creed means not just saying these things, not just confessing with our mouth, but believing in our heart. But I want to take it a step further and tell you that to truly affirm the Apostles' Creed means not just believing these truths in your heart, but building upon these truths with your life. The affirmations that we're going to look at over the next 10 weeks have radical implications for your life. I mean radical implications. What I'm saying to you is that if you actually believe these things, it will change the way that you live. And if you say you believe these things and it has no change upon the way that you live, I'm not sure you've understood them in the first place or actually believe them. That is how radical these truths are. I want to close with this illustration, which this illustration is very similar to something Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, which I know the Sunday school class was actually looking at this morning. Providentially, a little different version of Jesus' parable. Imagine that there's a man who wants to build a house on a new property. And this man has a particular kind of property in mind that he's looking for, and one day he finds it. It's perfect. He's found the perfect property that he wants to build a house on. And it's for sale, too. Even better. So he goes to the seller, and he asks him if he can buy this property, and they strike up a deal. They come to an agreement. But before the seller signs the deal, he says to this man, I need you to know one thing before you sign on the dotted line. You need to know something about this property. The ground underneath this property is very strange. If you're going to build a house, you have to build the house on the west side of the property, because the ground on the west side of the property is very, very solid. It's solid as a rock for hundreds of feet down. But the ground on the east side of the property is very unstable. And if you built your house on the east side of the property, it doesn't matter how good your foundation is, it's going to come crashing down after a couple of years, because the ground over there just shifts radically every couple of years. So the man says, okay, I understand. I love the property. The whole thing is beautiful. I want to buy the property. So he buys the property. Then it comes time to build the house. And he remembers what the seller said to him. He knows what the seller said, and he sort of believes him. But at the same time, he looks at that east side of the property, and he just sees it. That side of the property is so beautiful, and it seems like it's the perfect place to have the house situated. And so he decides, you know what? The whole property looks good. The whole thing looks beautiful. It can't be that big of a deal. And he builds the house on the east side of the property. And a couple of years later, the thing comes crashing down. When you think about that man and the interaction that I just described, one of the things that we can see about him is that he did not truly believe what the seller had told him. Because if he truly had believed it, it would have changed the way he lived. It would have changed the location that he built the house. And you see, that illustrates something really important that I want to tell you this morning, and that is that the Apostles' Creed is describing for us these core foundational truths that we find in the Bible, the solid foundation upon which you can build your life. And if you truly believe those things, it will change the way you live your life. It will change the way you build your life, so to speak, build your house, so to speak. It will radically reshape and reorient everything that you do. If we haven't changed what we do, then there's a question of, as I said before, whether we truly understand or truly believe those things. So I want to ask you again this morning, what do you believe? What is it that you believe? Where are you placing your faith this morning? Where are you placing your confidence? You might be sitting here this morning in this room, or somebody watching on the live stream, and you're not sure what you believe, and maybe you don't believe the Apostles' Creed. Let me encourage you with this. you better sit down and examine, well, what is it that you believe if you don't believe these things? Where are you placing your confidence? And are you sure that you're building on a solid foundation? There's no more important question to ask than that. But if you're watching this morning, or you're sitting here listening to this, and you are a Christian, and you would say, well, yeah, I affirm these truths, these classic fundamental truths, then let me encourage you to think about this and reflect upon this as we begin this series this fall. I think it would be wise for every single one of us who claims to be a Christian to ask ourselves, do I just profess these things with my mouth, or do I really, truly believe these things in my heart? And then after we've asked that question, we should ask a second question of ourselves, and that is, do I just believe these things in my heart, or am I actually building my life on these truths? That's what I want you to pray about as we begin this series together. And may God cause us all to grow closer to Him and have a deeper knowledge of the truth. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word, which has been revealed to us, which has been handed down to us from generation to generation, and which has been even restated for us in some of the great creeds of the church. Oh Lord, we know these creeds are not a substitute for your word, and we don't seek to use them as such. But Lord, we do seek to meditate on those truths which we hold in common with many other generations of Christians who have gone before us. Lord, so I pray right now that you would help us to make this fall for us, Lord, be a re-examining of what it is that we truly believe and why we believe what we believe. And, oh Lord, help us to see those areas of our lives where these beliefs reach how we live. Lord, some of us here in this room, all of us in this room, Lord, have blind spots. We have areas of our lives where our life is not in step with what we claim to believe. So I pray, Lord, that you would challenge us and convict us. Reveal to us those areas of our lives where we are out of step with what we claim to believe, and help us to repent, help us to turn to you, and may you cause us to grow in significant ways, Lord, as we continue through this fall together. We pray all these things in the powerful, saving name of Jesus Christ. Amen.